that the nations may tremble at thy presence when thou didst terrible things which we looked not for. Thou camest down, and the mountains flowed down at thy presence. And here's something that is in 1 Corinthians 2:9 in the New Testament. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen. I told you this wasn't about heaven. This is about what God will do, can do. Amen. In response to our prayers of faith and intercession, if we would simply believe him. Amen. O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for them that waiteth for him. Can you say amen? The New Testament said, eyes not seen, ears not heard, verbatim. Amen. Neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for them that love him. But let me tell you something, those that love him minister to him in praise and prayer. And that's called waiting upon the Lord. How many's ever, everybody say wait upon the Lord. That doesn't mean take a number. It means to minister to the Lord. Continue to minister to the Lord in praise. Minister to the Lord in intercessions. How many's ever had someone come to your table and fill your tea back up or your Coke or your coffee? What do they call them? Waiters? Why? And yeah, because they're waiting on you. See, waiting on the Lord is not just about you sitting down and saying, when the Lord gets ready, you got to move, you got to move. God's been ready since the day of Pentecost. Can you say, man? When does the church start ministering unto the Lord? Amen. They that minister unto the Lord consistently, amen, will mount up with wings as eagles, for in his presence there's fullness of joy. At his right hand there's pleasure. Listen, there's joy for the journey in the presence of the Lord. I want to read one more scripture. A lot of people don't believe this will work in America. I believe if it works anywhere in the world, it'll work here. You say, well, sin is so bad here. Sin is bad over there too. Where sin doth abound, what's God's response? His grace does hyperabound, superabound, much more abound. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will, I love how God talks here from heaven, and I will forgive their sin first, and I will heal their land. How many believe this land needs a healing? Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we're the people tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. To get us ready for this, I want to just look at this together tonight. From down in the African nations of Africa all the way up to the Arctic. Everybody say, from Africa to the Arctic, God is on the move because people are praying. Can you say amen? And from the Hesperides, it'll begin with the Hesperides that we've been talking about. How many are geared up tonight for revival? You want to see it in your lifetime. Amen. You saw these videos and films and you've heard these testimonies. How many want to see it in your families? Want to see it in this church? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I've seen what they call revival. Then I've seen real revival. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, real revival is better. Can you say amen? Let's look at this and let the Lord speak to us tonight. You can. That's it. Thank you.
The Outer Hebrides seem an improbable place for God to visit. Yet the heavens have been rent over this ancient land with remarkable regularity. These visitations have been called revivals, but they are unlike anything most of us have ever experienced.
A revival is not only biblical, but believe in revival because it is historical.
It started off in 1939. A few of them gathered together for a prayer meeting. Before they knew where they were, the house was packed. They were coming from all over the island, directed by the Lord.
I realized that something very significant had happened the previous night. There was something quite strange, almost eerie, in the atmosphere in the house.
And from the moment one came into the crowded meetings, one was aware of an atmosphere which I couldn't describe and I couldn't explain.
We felt this power, and afterwards even the dishes were clattering. It was as if the Lord came down with a mighty wind. The house shook with the power of prayer and the presence of the Lord. Walking on the main road, they would be crying out to God to have mercy on them. They were lying down on the road for God to have mercy on them.
It was as if there was a canopy of an awareness of God over the whole island. You couldn't be indifferent to what was happening.
The drinking houses of the village, they gradually disappeared one by one.
People were being saved every night. And there was a complete transformation. And the people in the world knew it. God had come. That was the answer.
Sadly, many societies around the world remained desperately ill, their deep spiritual and social wounds crying out for the salve of God's presence. Canada's vast Arctic territories have been inching toward death for most of the 20th century. The land is so cold that even trees refuse to grow. But it's the inner barrenness that kills.
It was awful. It was terrible. Alcohol everywhere.
We had violence, wife abuse, violence against other people, breaking, sexual abuse.
I was drinking alcohol myself very much.
I would turn to sniffing solvent, gas, dope, drinking.
We had an enormous epidemic of suicide of youth. Then came the realization that a lot of our children were experiencing sexual abuse. Every single family was touched. It was total darkness at the time.
Far to the south, the nation of Uganda has likewise spent several decades in a deep spiritual coma. Racked with demonic fevers, this one-time pearl of Africa became Idi Amin's personal house of horrors.
I think Uganda has been a country of pain, a country which has gone through one military coup to another.
For a long time, Uganda has been under civil war. You couldn't see any hope.
In those days, it was common to find bodies killed, lying by the roadside. And sometimes people would go to look over just to make sure, is it a person I know, a loved one? If not, they would just go on. It was being predicted AIDS would be so bad in Uganda that one third of the population would have died from AIDS. What has Uganda done to God? It looks like God hates us.
If history teaches us anything, it is that God's heart is as big as the sea. His reach extending with grace and precision to the very ends of the earth.
The healing process began. It's amazing, amazing to see the transformation from where the nation was found to where it is today.
People are getting saved. People are being healed.
We have seen the AIDS virus healed, and the doctors go, wow, I can explain this, but there must be a God up there somewhere.
Every day in Uganda, there is a new church starting up, or a ministry starting up.
The gospel has introduced new changes, even in the structure of the government. Now we have a new ministry called the Ministry of Ethics and Integrity. We never used to have that.
Here I am. I'm the Moses of Uganda. The Lord has appointed me here to lead Uganda from an ethical conduct, moral decadence, corruption, to the right direction.
Prayer really has a part in the politics, in every part of our Ugandan society.
In this parliament, we have a fellowship of Christians.
To be in police, to me, I feel it's a divine calling.
I've taken my faith up to the governmental level.
In the presence of the President and the First Lady, we dedicated the nation to God and then covenanted the nation to God for the next 1,000 years.
Covenanting our nation, Uganda, to the purposes of God.
This is Nakivubo Stadium. We've been having an overnight prayer meeting. It's much prayer, but also a celebration.
When they see what the country is today, it really is a miracle. It wouldn't have been possible if it hadn't been for the Lord.
I have seen this community just transformed by the power of God.
Many marriages were healed. Many families were healed.
I've seen men get up and publicly repent that I have abused my children and I've abused my wife.
God is saving these people we never thought could be changed.
We've had a lot of young people themselves turning to Jesus for the answers that they never found in drugs or whatever else they were into.
Our children in the school is about 50. All of them are saved. All of them are born again.
Many of the mayors are Christians.
They were starting to get more animals than ever before. Fish in the lakes were starting to grow. Even the land is starting to produce little plants. We are so blessed.
Suicide, that's completely gone on the downtrend.
We pray for our community. We broke the curse in our community.
It changed. It completely changed.
You can visit every community and they can tell you the same story.
In Kanyapsujuak, in Kujuak,
Kwaktek, Aupaluk,
Panilet,
Pubuntukal Harbor,
Clyde River,
Arctic Bay.
We have an all-forgiving and almighty God, and families have been healing over these past 6-7 years now, and it's been wonderful.
To those who would ask, why did God move so powerfully in these particular regions? The answer is simple. He was invited.
The people were praying all the time for this revival. They would be praying in the barns.
Their faces would be tear-stained.
They're supposed to pray for a revival. There's prayer. There's tears. Tears of repentance. We must pray earnestly.
And it's the kind of desire that deeply yearns to the Lord. The moments of refreshing from the Holy Spirit that we are experiencing today did not come easy.
And these prayers were travailing. They were painful praying.
But we come to us, come visit us.
By their parents. But I have seen kids under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I have seen children this high. Most churches don't give them any credibility for spiritual sensitivity. They relegate them to the puppet shows and the little movies and all the other things. I'm going to tell you something. When God comes down, even the kids know it. Can you say amen? And kids can be saved. Amen. We saw children in Haiti saved. Filled with the Holy Spirit, weeping and closing their eyes as they worship the Lord, 8 and 9 years old. And there is a move among children around the world. So I don't want you to just think of this as yourself. Some of the principles of prayer that we could teach tonight God is teaching kids how to pray for revival. This is real tonight. Praise God. And because I gauge things by the sensing of the anointing, so there's nothing cute about what you're about to see. But God is putting his hands on kids right here in America. And several of these little girls are clearly filled with the Holy Spirit, praying for revival. Praise the Lord. Are you enjoying this? Is it stirring you? Praise God. Hallelujah. This is an incredible day, and we will get that fixed. It played fine, by the way, at home before I brought it. Ain't that something? Anyway, it won't stop God. I'm already inspired tonight. It's too late to stop this. Let me read you some things before we pray. You can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you can never do more than pray until you have prayed. A.J. Gordon. John Wesley said, God does nothing except in response to believing prayer. S.D. Gordon said, prayer strikes the winning blow. Service is simply picking up the pieces. One should never initiate anything that he cannot saturate with prayer. The greatest thing anyone can do for God or man is pray, according to S.D. Gordon. Martin Luther said, if I fail to spend 2 hours in prayer each morning, the devil gets the victory through the day. I have so much business I cannot get on with without spending 3 hours of prayer daily. Chuck Smith said the most important thing a born-again Christian can do is to pray. And he also said prayer does not change the purpose of God, but it does change the action of God. Someone said, many may spurn our appeals, reject our message, oppose our arguments, despise our persons, but they are helpless against our prayers. Hallelujah. Ian Bounds said, God shapes the world by prayer. The more prayer there is in the world, the better the world will be, the mightier the forces against evil. Prayer is where the action is, someone said. Satan does not care how many people read about prayer if only he can keep them from praying. Andrew A. Boner said, "Oh, brother, pray. In spite of Satan, pray. Spend hours in prayer. Rather neglect friends than not pray. Rather fast and lose breakfast, dinner, tea, and supper, and sleep too, than not pray. We must not talk about prayer, but we must pray in right earnest. The Lord is near. He comes softly while the virgins slumber." Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Corrie Ten Boom said, "Don't pray when you feel like it. Have an appointment with the Lord and keep it. A man is powerful on his knees." Praise God. I want to read that again. Don't pray when you feel like it. Have an appointment with God and keep it. A man is powerful on his knees. Ian Bounds said again, "Talking to men for God is a great thing, but talking to God for men is a greater thing." Praise God. He said the men who have done the most for God in this world have been early on their knees. He who fritters away the early morning, its opportunity and freshness in other pursuits than seeking God, will make poor headway seeking Him the rest of the day. If God is not first in our thoughts and in our efforts in the morning, He will be in the last place in the remainder of the day. Can everybody amen that? Ian Bounds went on to say that God's cause is committed to men. God commits Himself to men. Praying men are the vice regents of God. They do His work. They carry out His plans. Hudson Taylor said, "The prayer power has never been tried to its full capacity. If we want to see mighty wonders of divine power and grace wrought in the place of weakness, failure, and disappointment, let us answer God's standing challenge. Call upon Me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." No learning can make up for the failure to pray. No earnestness, no diligence, no study, no gifts will supply its lack. Have you discovered that? Have you met people that don't have a burden to pray, but they have an ability to biblically or spiritually critique everything, but they don't have a heart to pray? And prayer is the only thing that's going to change what needs changing. Prayer for people and prayer for circumstances. Praise God. Hallelujah. It is necessary. Ian Bounds went on to say again that the little estimate we put on prayer is evidence from the little time we give to it. He said it's necessary to iterate and reiterate that prayer as a mere habit, as a performance gone through by routine or in a professional way, is a dead and rotten thing. That's why I wish you could have heard these kids tonight, because they're not praying professionally. They're praying with the heart of God in compassion and love and fervency and passion. Satan trembles, William Cowper said, when he sees the weakest Christian on his knees. If the church wants a better pastor, it only needs to pray for the one it has. Most people are praying for another one. Praise God. Amen. I like that. Prayer is the real work, someone said. Evangelism is just the mopping up. Matthew Henry said, "You may soon find a living man that does not breathe as a living Christian that does not pray." Breathe, rather, as a living Christian that does not pray. Prayer will make a man cease from sin, or sin will entice a man to cease from prayer. Can you agree with that tonight? John Bunyan. William Law said, "He who has learned to pray has learned the greatest secret of a holy and happy life." Martin Luther said, "Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but laying hold on His willingness." Brother Lawrence said, "There's not a world, not in the world, a kind of life more sweet and delightful than that of a continual conversation with God." Hallelujah. And we could go on and on and on and on. Hallelujah. You can flip the light back on for just a second. Praise God. If we don't see revival, people are going to fall away. Many of them, because many hearts are not set upon the Lord. His house holds no place of import. His worship, we can just put a tape in and call that worship. That's not what God called you to. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Amen? His work, what God is doing, when it holds no place of value, and people see no reason to support it, something is desperately wrong in the heart, regardless of the words mouthed from the mouth. We need, desperately, a revival. His servants, it's all a no big deal thing. It's no big deal. Let me tell you how important the servants of the Lord are. When Jesus sent his servants out to preach the gospel, he said, "He that receiveth you receives me." Isn't that incredible when we come and represent him through a true anointing and calling? "And he that receives me receives him that sent me." You can't have one without the other. Amen? "And he that rejects you rejects me." I try not to take it personally, but sometimes I feel it in my heart. I know God takes it personal, and he has the right to. Can you say, man? He's a holy God. He gave his son. He has a right to feel offended when people treat him as if it's not all that important anyway. We need a revival. Can you agree with that tonight? Can you say, man, "He that rejects you rejects me, and he that rejects me rejects him that sent me." Amen. So he said, "Even as the Father sent me, so send I you." Praise the Lord. Amen. God is so gracious tonight. He wants to help us. I'm so glad for the outreach. I'm so glad for you that are here tonight. I'm so glad for the countries in the world that welcome the gospel of Jesus Christ, that are glad to hear it, that come back again and again to download the Word of God because they have hungry hearts. Can you say, man? God is so good. We need a revival in America. We need a revival in this church. We need a revival in our personal lives. Amen. But we need God to help us with this, because people have drifted so far. The status quo is now the new normal in the Church of Jesus Christ. And unless that changes, there can be no revival. And without revival, we're not going to see our children. Your children are going to be caught up in the world. Can you say, man, they're going to go the way of the world? I know you raised them right. I raised mine right. Amen. But the statistics are out there right now. They're leaving the church. This big end wave of youth in the mega churches, where they entertain them with their brand of worship and their brand of music and their brand of gospel that doesn't push very hard to try to woo them in, they didn't commit. And because they didn't commit and find anything to commit to, they became disillusioned. And right now, according to CNN and other news agencies, that this wave of youth into the church, amen, there is now an exodus from the church. They're going back to the world to seek a sense of purpose and to seek what life is really all about. And the devil's going to offer them a counterfeit for what the church should provide. They need to see something more than the Sunday morning routine and everything at home go back to the normal. Can you say, man? They need to see how worthy Jesus is of worship. We need a revival, and we need it desperately. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Will you come forward tonight, and let's get ready. And after we pray, we're going to have this song to go home with. Praise the Lord. But let's come and join our hands and let us pray for tonight. And let's pray for the Spirit of the Lord moving from Africa to the Arctic. The incredible thing that God has given us. Hallelujah. And we'll save the kids thing, because I didn't realize, is that what correct? It is. Our time is running tonight. Praise the Lord. Now, there's a little bit of sadness here, and I want you to understand that's all right. There's nothing to shout about when so many people are so busy. So many people have put God way down the list of what's important in their life. And so many people want his choice blessings and his deliverances when the trouble comes. And I do not believe it'll happen that way. Israel played that game with God, and they lost. And they lost terribly, because they tried to use God, and they tried to use the Ark of the Covenant, and they tried to use his precious promises while dishonoring his person. And it doesn't work that way. Can you say, man? And there's churches all throughout that are telling people, you can get by with that. Just use your faith. Just sow your seed. It's a lie. It's spawned in the pit of hell. It will never bring true revival. It hasn't brought it to America. It hasn't brought it to our marriages. Christian marriages are breaking up at the same level now We used to outdo the world. We don't outdo because we don't make sacred vows and keep them to God or to each other. We've lost the sense of sacred, the sense of commitment, the sense of devotion. And more marriages are going to fall apart because Christians are not committed. And if they're not committed, Satan will wage them and eventually defeat them. So now we've caught the world. We can't show the world that being a Christian will seal a covenant. We can't show them that anymore. In America, we can't do it. That means we've lost ground. That means we're backslidden. That means we need revival. Lord, unless you rend the heavens and come down, no preacher has a message that will make a difference. Unless you rend the heavens and come down, no Sunday school teacher is going to shape a young life unless your presence is made manifest to that heart. Unless you come down, Lord, we're going to see continued, Lord, compromises. We're going to see, Lord, the enemy make inroads into Christian lives, Christian families, Christian young people, Christian homes. Unless there's a revival. And there will never be a revival unless the church repents. Unless we turn from our wicked way, we will never see it. Because we can't qualify to pray for it. I'm asking, Lord, that hearts would melt once again. So that you can come down. Hallelujah, like you're doing in the Hesperides, like you did in the Hesperides, like you're doing in Africa and in the Arctic. Lord, you're coming down. Young people, children are worshiping you. People are enjoying their God and serving Him and seeing their families and their communities change because of your presence in their lives. Father, oh, that you would come down. That you would come down. Hallelujah. If there wasn't this hope, Lord, I couldn't preach. I couldn't preach watching what I see. I couldn't preach experiencing what I experience. I couldn't keep coming to a pulpit if I didn't believe that this kind of praise could and would make a difference. That hearts would begin to melt again. That people would begin to fall in love with you again. That people would care about your word. That people would care about your worship. That people would care about your work. That people would care about your house. That people would care about your people. That people would care about your kingdom. That people would care enough to pray for the lost in concert. We're your people. We're called by your name. We're a kingdom of priests. We can stand in the gap. You brought us into the kingdom. For a time such as this, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. They said that prayer meeting they were in that house where a group about this size to begin with probably came together. Amen. That the dishes begin to rattle. That is not unprecedented because in the New Testament when they prayed, it said the place where they were gathered was shaken. Can you say amen? It was shaken. God said, I'm here. I'm here in that shaking. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Shake us, Lord. Hallelujah. Come down. Bend the heaven. Come down. name of Jesus. Did you hear what I'm praying tonight? I'm not praying for everybody to stay in this church. I'm saying, God, take the people out of here that you want to remove and add the people that you want to save. But give us revival.
Come in here that want to be here. Hallelujah. We need some people to come in here that want to sing.
sing his praise. We need the people to come in here that want to hear his word. We need the people to come in here that look what the Lord is doing. I want to be part of that. Taking the gospel to the nations of the world. Somebody ought to get a passion for that. Somebody ought to share the vision for those souls that God is reaching for. God, take who you want to take away. Add who you want to add. But let your word go forward. Oh, Lord, let it go forward. It's so crucial, so critical that we not look back or go back now. You've come too far. Too much is at stake. Even when the news is bad, and a lot of times it is, even when so many fall away. Oh, God in heaven, bring us closer to you. Bring us closer to you. Bring us closer to you. Oh, hallelujah, Father, we praise you. You feel it tonight. You feel like it. You know what the lifting of that spirit of passionate prayer means? That means God has heard it. Amen. There's no need to continue to push this thing. He's heard it. Praise God because it came from the heart. Hallelujah, the effectual fervent. And there was fervency here tonight. Hallelujah, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. This means more than anything we've done here today. What damage to the devil, but do more good for God. Can you say amen? And without it, all the rest is in vain. I have preached until my voice goes. I have preached until I have preached hundreds upon hundreds of challenging messages. But unless the heart is responsive to the Spirit of God, nothing I say will make a difference, because nothing He's saying is making a difference. Oh, but when God comes down, it all changes. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Brother, would you go ahead and put that on? Let's go home with this song. How many believe we're in the kingdom? First time. I promise I'm going to let some of y'all pray next time. Hallelujah. But God is here tonight. We're in concert. We're in unity. We're in harmony.